The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 46 says this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles, to teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, and praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. First time, 3,000 just by one guy giving a sermon. The next time, they're hanging out and people were being added every single day. If I can give you a little bit of context, this is Peter talking. Peter and the apostles were in an upper room in Acts chapter 1 because Jesus had told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. By the time the second chapter begins, in the first few verses, it says that the Holy Spirit descended on all of them while they were praying. It was 120 in the room. And it says that when the Spirit of God came, it came in like a rushing mighty wind, and it was almost like a consuming fire was on their head. And the men began to speak in other languages as the Spirit of God began to give them utterance. It says that the people who were kind of watching, who was spectating, watching these people speak in a heavenly language, begin to wonder, what is going on? Are they drunk? It's early in the morning. And Peter says, hey, before you just go making assumptions, let me break down to you what's happening. This is that which was spoken way back by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out of his Spirit. Yeah. You will see dreams and visions and prophesy. And while he's saying all of this, he says, now listen, you're the ones who crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do about it now. He's not in the grave. He's actually risen from the grave and seated at the right hand of God the Father. You can read the text in Acts chapter 2. He says, now David, in his own strength, did not get a chance to see this Jesus Christ that I'm talking to you about right now, but he did prophesy him by saying, the Lord is now seated at the right hand of our Lord. And he says, now listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, paraphrasing it now, so that you can have life. Yeah. He's not in the grave anymore. He says he died and he paid the price for you. And the story that I read to you in 36 says that the men go, what do we need to do? Because I heard the message. I'm believing what you're saying. What do I need to do to have this encounter with Jesus that you're talking about? And in full boldness, he says, now listen, give your heart to Jesus. You're going to be baptized and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. He gives them a strategic plan as to how to walk out his relationship with God and to not stay surface. He says, you're going to accept him. You're going to be baptized and you're going to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it says that the people respond, and 3,000 people, 3,000 people, it started with 120. 3,000 people, everybody say 3,000 people were added in one day, all because of the gospel message. It goes on to say that they didn't just stop there. They didn't just say, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. It says that they began now to get into the Word of God and go deeper into the Word of God. And they connected with people. And it says that as they're connecting with people and going deeper in the Word of God, they're seeing the miracles, signs, and wonders happening in their environment. And it ends by saying, and in their environment, people were added every single day. So this morning, our focus is we want to go to how City Place Church is going to build dreams, ignite faith, and establish leaders. How will the vision of your life be accomplished when you set it to paper, when you make it intentional that this is what God's called me to do? Yeah. How can we accomplish our why? Is that okay if we do this? There are several things that we talk about in our growth track, our next steps classes, that is found in this text. Because it says that the church grew 3,000. But then in their home groups, it grew every single day. And here's the first thing. The how to our why is you and I have to know God. Can you write that down? You have to know God. Now, here's the thing. You can know of God. People know of God. Or you can know God. I saw a statistic today that said that there's only 4% of all millennials that are in church. Wow. 4%, 96%. Of all millennials are either like they come, but they don't want anything to do with God, or they just don't come at all. 56% grew up in church. Wow. So you can know of God, but you really don't know him. The word know there means to know intimately, like intimacy, the deepest level of knowing someone is when I pull back my guard and I expose who I am in all of my truth to the one that I love. So when we talk about knowing God, we're talking about paying a price. We're talking about a vulnerability and a true commitment. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So the why of your life, this is what God's called me to do. This is what I'm chasing after, has to be driven and pushed. How will I do that? Is I have to know God. Because if I don't know God, I'm going to chase after something that he may not want me to be doing. I'm going to chase after things that I'm not in full assurance is my true purpose and his true plan. Right. So the Bible says that they devoted themselves to the teaching of what the apostles were teaching. Can I tell you that your being in church is vital?
Yeah.
Your being in church is vital. We have a friend, his name is Caleb, and his pastor has been pastoring for more than 20 years. And he said that in his church, he's got people that have been with him like 18 years, and they'll see him and be like, Pastor, we don't know if we can make it to church this week. Well, what's going on? Well, you know, Pastor, we just kind of need some Sundays just to kind of, you know what I'm saying? We just wake up kind of, we don't know. And he said it shocked him because when did it shift to where the church wasn't what it was? And people felt like, I can just get church at home. No, no, no. The Bible says, forsake not the gathering of the saints. 120 turns into 3,120. A few in a room turns into, and the church grew daily. My home group grew daily. So if we're going to know God, there has to be a special spot for the house of God. You and I have to know God.
Yeah, and I think about the example we were talking about this morning. I said it so quickly, but many, many of you do know, for 10 years, I taught aerobics. Not because I'm so all that, but because I knew I wouldn't drag myself to the gym. And I knew if I wasn't there, having to be there, having to be front and center, that I sure enough wasn't planning on going to the gym. I don't know about you, maybe you have incredible self-discipline, not this one. So I knew what I needed to do, and to intimately push myself in the gym, I needed to teach the class. And I learned something in those 10 years as an aerobics instructor. I am no longer one, taking many a days of rest at home, recouping all that time I was pushing. But it taught me something about human nature. It taught me something about the people that could come to class, including me, come to class like, don't want to be here. Has anybody ever gone to the gym and you're like, the whole way there, you're like, I don't want to be here.
Yes.
I don't want to be here. I'm going to show up in this thing. I'm going to put this thing in. I don't want to be here. I hate the way you're making me warm up. I don't want to warm up. I don't want to go side to side. I don't want to step on the step. I don't even want you to push me. In fact, you're talking too much. Nobody? Yeah. Remember, I told you last week, I don't always like people, right? Here we go. Self-confession. Stop talking so much. But you know, it taught me that human nature, outside of a great teacher that will push you, that we don't want to be pushed. We want the goal. We want to know God. We want to go deeper, but we don't always want to do the work. And sometimes we think we want to do the work, and so we get started, just like you started that diet. And then the reality of eating cabbage soup every day kicks in, and you're like, I just don't want to do this, and so I'm not going to, unless somebody pushes you. We were talking earlier about how important it is for us to join together, how important it is for us to push each other. Why? Because when you're home, perhaps you're not like this before the Lord. You're just like, I'll think in my head. Great. And there's no one there to give you that push or accountability, or no one there to say, you don't look yourself today. And so you can wallow and play the sweet lullabies of romance music and cry and think about how your dog got run over. And no one is there to give you the accountability. That is what church does. That is what gathering together does. That is why we get dressed up in the morning and come here when we don't feel like it and it's raining outside and have lots of reasons to curl up with a book. But that's the God we serve, that he wants us to know him so much that he puts us together with messed up people to push us to where we're trying to go. The first one is knowing God.
So what does that look like here at City Place Church when it comes to knowing God? Our environment is that we want to have life-giving services. This is our weekend service. We want to charge the atmosphere for you to feel like this is where I get life here. But we also want to have weekend services that you feel comfortable inviting your friends to. So it might be some things that you're used to. I grew up straight up Pentecostal charismatic. And when I grew up, I was spooked out sometimes. Have y'all ever been in those services when people are doing things and you're like, oh my God, she literally just jumped out of the balcony.
Yeah.
Why did she do that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let me make it clear. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. We are spirit-led. We speak in tongues. But we are not going to make him look bad for what feels good to us.
Come on now.
I'm not going to embarrass him, ever. But he will move in this service, and we won't ever be ashamed about it. So if you get accustomed to worship being 25 minutes and we go 35, that's because we're going to allow him to be himself. If the person beside you is speaking in tongues, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it might make you feel uncomfortable, but I can promise you this, there's not going to be any shenanigans up in here that make you go, I'm not inviting my friends. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to always talk about it. So we're going to be bold about who the person of the Holy Spirit is, because he's not just the tongue. That's his gift.
That's correct.
He also gives you love, joy, peace, long-suffering, boldness to preach. So if we're going to talk about who he is, because that's where most of us get freaked out, we're going to tell you about the gentleman side of him. But also the one that shows up and will slap somebody on your behalf. Are you with me? So we want to have services on the weekend where you go, yo, Jimmy, I know that you over there living wrong. Come to my church. We want the church to where someone sits beside you and you feel uncomfortable because you and I are very religious. We want the service on the weekend where your friends feel comfortable too. So how many of y'all got unsaved friends at your job? Bring them to City Place Church. We won't be like waiting for them. Oh, they coming this week. Here's the Bible. No. I was dirty extremely at one time. Anybody else? You were way away from Jesus.
Yeah.
Your stuff stunk, and Jesus loved you enough to say, let me hug you. Jesus touched lepers.
Yeah.
He also touched some extremely rich people who were snobbish. And then he had to deal with some extremely religious church folk too. Y'all ain't helping me preach.
Yeah, no.
So when we talk about knowing God, our weekend services, where are we going to begin to light that fire? So here's my question to you, though. when you have your why and your how, what does knowing God look like in your home? If it's relevant worship on a Sunday morning here at City Place Church, it can be passionate worship in your car.
Yeah.
It could be, now I'm not pushing this, okay? So hear me what I'm saying. It could be you're downloading the City Place Church podcast and getting some preaching because maybe you were out that week. Mm. It could be finding your scripture and quoting it all day long.
Yeah.
Knowing God.
That's good. The second thing that we want to share with you this morning, how do we grow deeper with God? How do we grow deeper with people? And the second thing that we do here that we believe so strongly is we find freedom. When you encounter God, nobody who encountered God in the Bible stayed the same. The woman touched God. She had an issue of blood. The moment she did that, she was free. Jesus took his hand, took spit, picked it up, put the mud on the ground, put it on the man's eyes, and he could see. There was evidence and there was fruit from the times where Jesus was in the room and where he touched people. And to the same extent, and we talk about this in our Next Steps class when we talk about spiritual gifts, if you are endowed with a spiritual gift, no matter if it's healing, administration, or anything else, if you have a gift, it should work. It should work. And so when we come together and we're pursuing God, and you and I say, you know what, it is my season. I am going to make the commitment to know God. I am going to, in my car, be passionate. I am going to go for passionate worship. What does my freedom look like? What changes in my life from the way I have been to my encounter with God? Let me put it to you like this way. If you encounter God today, how do I know you're different? How does anybody know we're different? If you encounter Jesus, what is the mark of your difference? There's a cause and there is a result, but there's evidence. So here at City Place Church, we so value finding freedom because we understand what it's like to not be free. Everybody has made this journey, and this is probably the biggest fallacy that the enemy could ever play on us. So when we come to church, we assume that everyone else has it more together than us. We assume that because you're here and you're passionate, you have it more together than me. Let me take the blanket off. Everybody was broken in bondage at some point. And so it doesn't matter where on the pendulum you fall. But the important thing is that we push in and we find freedom and there's evidence. So what does that look like in our life? How do we find freedom? One of the areas that I'm loving right now, and not just because he's pushed it or made fun of us, I love finding freedom in small groups. You know why? You can't hide from nobody in a small group. It's awesome. You put a scene of people like this, and absolutely, you could sneak in and you could sneak out. Hey, praise the Lord. How you doing today? Hallelujah. You could do all that. You could slip in and you could slip out. You get yourself in a small group, like the ladies got together yesterday. They're like, we say, hey, girls, go break up with a partner. Go read this. Go do this. Let's talk about what God's doing in your life. And there's nowhere to hide because somebody is staring in your face. Right? Not every small group is like that. Don't worry. It's
Man,
not a
deterrent.
We're
going to have chicken wings.
And eat popcorn.
And we're not going to be, so how you doing? We're going to be like, the game is on.
Yeah. Well.
Sorry.
There's many shapes. There's different strokes for different folks, right? Not all the girls' groups are like that. Ladies, don't worry. But if you are struggling with something, and when you are heavy, there is nothing worse than knowing that you're broken and not knowing how to get out. Then going, I know that I'm heavy. I know that I'm dealing. I know that I'm a yeller, and I have nobody that will keep me accountable. Please don't leave me by myself on that one. Because you talk to yourself and all those little things go off. And so here at City Place, that's why we push and we say, there's a men's group, there's a youth, it's happening now, they're going to make waffles. I mean, we will do whatever it takes to get the kind of environment where God can move. As a teenager, I needed a small group to break the habits and to break the chains over my life and for me to really know God. It wasn't what my mom could do. It wasn't even bringing me to church. It was a small group. And so we value that here, finding freedom.
Amen. James chapter 5, 16 says, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Notice it didn't say, don't go to the pastors. It says, hey, go to one another. Tell them, Ty and I, since we've been pastoring City Place Church, we have great accountability with our overseers. And we literally can go to them and tell them anything that's going on. And so it's good to have those people in your life that's a smaller connecting. And so that's how we are going to grow our vision here at City Place Church. Now, how are you going to find freedom? We already gave you an opportunity. You can get plugged into a small group. You can get plugged into a city group here at City Place Church. And so here's the next thing. We want you to discover your purpose. We want you to discover your purpose. It says that they sold their property and their possessions, and they made sure that nobody had a need. Something was unlocked there to where someone found the ability to serve in outreach. Someone found their gifting in generosity. Someone found their gifting in organization. Someone found their gifting in going to the local hospital. Someone found their gifting in, what, no matter what it is, something broke in this group of 3,120 to where they said, what I have, the gift that I have, I'm going to give it. Now, that's a frightening verse because it says, and they gave everything that they had and no one was lacking anything. I've read that sometimes and people sometimes can go, oh, Lord, here they go. They're going to ask for some money. Did y'all think that? Y'all laughing. If you're laughing, that means you did. But here's how I want to show you. They discovered something about themselves that they didn't know before. The Bible is real strategic. It doesn't ever mention anything, and it doesn't have a purpose. They released a gift that was on the inside of them because they discovered who they were. Their hearts, the Bible says in the early verses that I read in 36 through, it says that their heart was broken when they heard what Peter said. But they began to do more once they were in a smaller environment. See, I'm coming to church. I'm now meeting in someone's house. By the time I'm in this environment, I've discovered who I am. So I'm knowing God. I'm finding freedom. The shackles are off. I can be who God's called me to be. No one is ever going to not feel what I'm feeling right now. That's what happens when you discover your purpose. We let go of our selfish, I'm going to hold on to this and say, if Jesus touched me, he's got to touch you. How am I going to be coming to church at City Place and not invite you? How am I not going to see God blessing me and healing me and not pray for you? So you discover your purpose. So what does that look like here at City Place Church? We have a growth track, and that's what we call our next steps. We tell you who we are, City Place Church, but we literally give to you a gifts assessment. Because if you're like me, people normally think that I'm an extrovert. I am not. It sounds funny to say because I'm jumping around, doing the whole dance in the show. If it's you and me, and this is a group, and I'm sitting where you are, I'm like. But I found that there's a little something extra inside of me. My natural instinct is I'm a builder. So I like to build behind the scenes. And I like to help make you a success. That's the reason why I always ask you, what you dreaming about? How can I help? It's because deep down my gift is I'm an exhorter. So I'm an encourager to get you revved up to be who God's called you to be. My other gift is I'm a faith guy. So if you tell me you can't do it, I'm going to say, why not? You can do it. The Bible says it. And those are the types of things that you find out when you discover who you are. And we do that in our next steps.
Yes. So far we've talked about three core tenets of City Place Church. Do you know what they are? Do you remember? The first one is, because all of you are taking notes, right? Teacher coming out. Here we go. The first one is know God. Good job, y'all. The second one is find freedom. And the third one is discover purpose. The last one is make a difference. Make a difference. These last two are actually particularly important to me. My doctorate study, my doctorate, y'all didn't know I had a doctorate. My doctorate study is finding meaning and purpose. the research behind it. And so when you see us like, but discovering purpose, it's so exciting to me. What happened is my family grew up in missions, in international missions, and so I grew up on the international mission field, and I never understood why as a teenager I could know and understand and sense the move of God. Coming back to the States, I was dealing with adults, many times my senior, who were still having very transparent, very honest conversations like, I just don't know, there has to be something more. And then I talked to somebody else, and they were my age, or it was a parent, or it was a grandparent, and they would say, I just don't know. It seems like there has to be something more. And in the quiet times of my own heart, I would say, but God, there has to be something more. And what I realized and why the research became so exciting to me was because I realized that each of us are having this silent conversation. And just like the other thing we talked about before, we think we're the only one having the conversation. You think you're all kind of special because you're having the, there must be something more. But in reality, God has put the unrest of purpose that is only found in Him unlocked in each one of us. And we're just having the silent conversation thinking we're crazy. And so when we joined together with the Dream Team, a few people joined together in an ice cream shop when we were planting this church. And we got together and we said, we don't know, but what would it look like with your questions and your questions and your questions and your questions of what would happen if we just joined together? Instead of going, there must be something more, what would happen if I pushed you into your purpose and you pushed me right back into mine? What would happen if the person sitting next to you right now would say, what are you waiting for? Let me speak some life into you. Oh, that busted up marriage? Oh, that thing that you've been struggling with, let me push you out of that. What would happen if we did that constantly? Could we go on a journey together? And furthermore, could we make a difference? And so these four tenets, they grew, they developed. It was important for us to know God. We had to be free people in order to do this. We had to discover our purpose in Jesus. But we had to say, so what? So yay, I'm gifted in administration. I'm gifted to sing. So what? So what, Yolanda? What are you going to do with that? You can sing. Yay, you. Really? What are you going to do with it? And so what it did is it pushed us out of the comfort zone to say, God gifted me for me. I'm a good pastor. I'm a good teacher. Yay, you. What would happen if you actually took that gift and instead of just, yay, me, I'm so awesome, you went to your neighbor and you said, I'm pushing you and you push me right back. And what could we do? What could we change? What momentum could we create if we did something in the name of Jesus? Not did something in the name of Jesus, but we did something in the name of Jesus and moved the mission of Jesus forward. What would happen? And that's what we believe. That's why we believe it so strongly. It's why you hear, you're like, oh, stop talking about it, people. But what would happen? I'm going to ask you again, what would happen? The person who you don't know that well, who you're sitting next to, what would happen if they knew you enough to say, I know what's really inside of you, and I'm going to push you to it. Because in the name of Jesus, we're going to do something with that.
Amen. So what does that look like here at City Place Church when it comes to making a difference? That means that you're serving on the dream team. You can serve on a dream team, first impression, singing on the worship team. When we go out to outreaches, we've got Serve Day coming in the summer. We've got people who are mentoring during the week. We've got things that we are yet to even do. So when you're making a difference, you're serving on the dream team. Or you might be leading a small group, hosting a small group, whatever it may be, but you're going to make a difference. The question goes back to still, though, even in your own why and your own vision, how are you going to make a difference? I might want to own my business, but how will my business make a difference? I might want to do this with my family, but how is my family going to make a difference? I'm going to get a new home. How is that new home going to make a difference? I want to get a new car. How is that new car going to make a difference? You're going to bring somebody to church with you? No matter what it is in life that you're shooting for, that's a part of your why, how will it make a difference? So not only are we talking about the confines of City Place Church, but it goes back to you. I've got my why. I'm going to be driven by my why. My vision is going to be intentional. But now I've got to know God. Yeah. I've got to find freedom in every area. I can't have anything holding me down. I'm going to get connected to somebody so I can tell them what's going on. I'm going to make myself vulnerable. I've got to discover my true purpose for what I'm believing for. And then I'm going to make a difference. And so at City Place Church, we want you to be involved. There's a place for you. No matter what you can do, we'll find a place. If you dance, we can put you in kids ministry. Because remember, I told you we can't be spooking out your friends. Remember, I told you we can't be. But the kids, they'll eat it up. But there's something for you to do in God's house. But there's something for your house to do for God's purpose. Are you with me? So here's what we're going to be celebrating this year. And we're wrapping up. Here's what we're going to celebrate every single week when it comes to City Place Church. Okay? Every single week we're going to celebrate these things. Because it goes with the how we're going to grow, how your life is going to be changed. Every single week we're going to celebrate the fact that we are doing a life-giving service. So you're going to always see us, how many of y'all are excited to be in God's house? We're going to build dreams. We're always going to do that because we want your friends to go, okay, I like this environment. But we want to see people saved. Remember we talked about knowing God? We want to see people saved. We want to see people baptized. So here's what's really cool. This year we baptized 3 people. Come on, can we give Jesus praise for that? Can we celebrate that? All right. Now, since we've launched, we've seen 9 people baptized. Can we give Jesus praise for that? In a little under a year, we're gonna be a year and 2 weeks. A year and 2 weeks, we've seen 124 people give their life to Jesus.
Come on.
That's good, right? So when we talk about these things, we're going to bring them out of the shadows, and we're going to celebrate them every week. Why? Because we want you to know that this is going to be an environment that when you bring your friends, every single service, even if it was just you, me, and the rest of the dream team, we will have an altar call. Just in case you ain't tell us everything. We want to make sure that heaven parties. It's where we came from. The culture, the church where we came from, we were like, we are going to feel heaven and make the devil extremely mad. So that's what we're going to celebrate every single week.
Yeah, and Finding Freedom, we celebrate the stories. We celebrate your stories. We love when you tell us, this is what God has done for me. This is how I, something that's transformational. We're also celebrating, as we talked about, city groups. So we love when you come to them because we know what it does. We know what it does. And so we celebrate the amount of people that go through baptisms. We celebrate the amount of people that take their time and energy to go deeper. This year, we told you that the theme is deeper. And today we've outlined the 4 aspects of going deeper. It seems so simple, right? Like she got up there and talked to us about aerobics. What? But if we will actually take this and digest it, then we understand where not only do we win as a church, but where do you win in your house? Where do you win? Do you win when you make the decision? Or you're brave enough to say, I've not been baptized, or I've made a new decision and today's my day? What about when you're brave enough to walk just beyond that curtain to when we have next steps and lunch and you say, you know what? It's my season. We celebrate that. We celebrate the amount of people that say, it's not okay for me to just come. It's time for me to go deeper. It's time for me to take this for real. It's time for me to identify what my spiritual gifts are. And then it's time for me to do something about it. Yeah, I see these people every week, and maybe if they need my help, they'll ask me. Or maybe God's speaking to you to just do it. To just be a part of what he's already doing. Yeah, that's what we celebrate here. And it all starts with us choosing to go deeper. To say, this isn't just a good message for somebody else. It's my message. Will you close your eyes with me?
Amen. So we're going to know God this year. We're going to find freedom. We're going to discover our purpose, and we're going to make a difference. You know, this year we have a goal as a church that we want to see. We've seen 124 people since launch give their heart to Jesus, but we want to go beyond that. We want to see 130 plus people give their heart to Jesus. We want to see 50 people baptized. Our focus for this year is to see three successful seasons of city groups. We want to see our dream team double to 60 plus people. We want to see us have influence in our community like we've never had. But we want to see your dreams built, your faith ignited, and you established as a leader that God's called you to be.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.